So last night was night number two of Aaron Rodgers hosting Jeopardy. Dr. Oz, who was hosting it before him, pulled in the worst ratings among post-Trebek Jeopardy hosts.
Oh, wow.
Family Feud topped the syndication ratings for the second week in a row.
Shout out to Steve.
When is Family Feud on here in Omaha?
I think Michael said they're on from like 6 to 7.
Okay.
Back-to-back episodes.
All right, so you got Jeopardy is at 6, Wheel of Fortune 6:30, Family Feud for back-to-back episodes.
Wow, the game show competition is real.
Yes, it is.
Oh, I like this.
Well, especially in this community, you got a little bit older viewership.
Yeah.
I think Channel 6 tends to skewer towards older viewers.
Mm-hmm.
So I watched a little bit of Aaron Rodgers last night. I think he would do really well in the permanent role. You can tell that, you know, at the beginning Monday, it was a little bit choppy, but as it went on, he got smooth with the clues. It's not an easy job. I watched a behind the scenes of Alex Trebek doing it.
Yeah,
it's not just showing up and reading, you know, off a screen.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot that goes into it, and you can tell that Aaron Rodgers was really prepared. He did that was a great tribute to the late Alex Trebek. I think Aaron Rodgers would be really good in that role. Now, I'm not taking your quarterback away, George.
He could do it full-time without.
He could.
Yep.
And I think he would be really good at it. Now, the most shocking thing to me over the last 2 days is you don't see Aaron Rodgers normally in a suit.
Yeah.
And you don't see him not wearing like a beanie or a ball cap or something.
Yep.
And when you see him in a State Farm commercial, he's not wearing a hat. But he shows up and he's wearing a suit and he's not wearing a hat. And I'm like, whoa, who is that guy? I think he would do a really good job. He's got a really kind of a dry sense of humor. But he likes the job.
Mm-hmm.
I could see them when they get through this. And I mean, how are you going to replace Alex Trebek?
Right.
Aaron Rodgers would be ideal.
He's got a name, so he's got a following.
He does have a name. Does that matter to diehard Jeopardy viewers? I think he's really comfortable.
I know one state will be number one in.
That's true. For how long? Maybe just this year, and then when he's...
Anyway.
Oh, sorry. All right, Scott Shanley will join us at 11:30, mailbag at noon, Parker Gabriel at 1:30. We will talk to him about his little partner, Steve Sipple, who was complaining about the music being too loud at the open practice today. Now, there's a lot of sip in there, but it's also true. They crank the music up, and they do it for a reason. Mm-hmm. So, and I hope everybody calls out any of us that make these like big, bold statements about what they saw in person today. Other than who was available and who was not, and maybe just a little quick observation. Like Nebraska, they're making a concerted effort at least to attempt the deep ball. Harburg has a big boy arm. You didn't get to see Marquis Stepp and Omar Manning. They were on the sidelines in sweat clothes. I was saying before the break, because yesterday when Tim Miles was announced as head coach, I saw somebody on my timeline. Actually, they tweeted at me, and we were going back and forth about Tim as a head coach at Nebraska. And as I laid it out yesterday, Tim came to Nebraska, was going to tear it down, and then rebuild, get there year four or five, and then maybe move off to another job. Well, the rebuild happened way too quickly. Success happened. They got to the NCAA tournament, and then as you saw, they couldn't sustain it. I mean, the following year after the NCAA berth, where all but one of the key players comes back, Nebraska takes a step back. And he, for a stretch in the NCAA year, caught lightning in a bottle. I mean, that's not new news to anybody. That's pretty clear. Just could not replicate that another year in his career. Decent guy, but when you have the opportunity to get a home run hire at the time, like Fred Hoiberg, and I still believe, and we'll get into Hoiberg's hire a little bit later, you make the move, and Tim Miles is out of a job. Now, Tim, for the last 2 years, has still remained in Lincoln. He has not done, if maybe one, any interaction with local media. He had a pretty good relationship, but I think maybe out of respect to the current staff, he's not going to stay locally in the news. if you want him, you got him online, or you got him on the Big Ten Network last year. And my relationship with Tim, he's always been classy, you know, even at the Christ the King sports banquet. We had a great time there. But there's something about him getting a new job and former coaches in this state, whether they're for Red Blue or Black Nebraska, where Tim Miles is a little bit different. How many people are wishing him good luck? Like, honestly, hey, man, I'd love to have a Coors Light with you. Good luck. I'm going to be rooting for you. Man, I'm going to be staying up late to watch San Jose State play. Maybe I'll get myself some gear. How rare is it that former coaches from this state that get fired or leave on their own, there are people, when they get the new gig, are rooting for them? May have a little bit to do with the personality of Tim, that he was replaced by somebody who was more well-known and got people excited about. Or how about this? This is from Adam. Actually, I think it's a Nebraska basketball thing. People don't have expectations of Nebraska basketball until now. People love Tim Miles, Doc Sadler, and even Barry Collier still. We ran into him in Indy, and people still talk to him about NU and make it a point to go say hi to him. Football has such higher expectations, and when it goes south, fans get mad about it and take it out on the former coach. Something to keep tabs on, though, is that I think Nebraska fans have expectations for basketball. If Hoiberg isn't successful, I could see him getting more of the former football coach treatment than former basketball treatment by fans. Let's start in Lincoln with former coaches. Let's start with basketball coaches. And Adam brought up Barry Collier. To this day, I still keep in contact with Coach Collier. When he was the head coach at Nebraska, I did his radio show. I got to know his wife and his whole family. They were really good to me. They're good people. It just didn't work out in Lincoln. And, you know, the timing of when he left to go back to Butler and be the athletic director rubbed people the wrong way. And still to this day, rubs people the wrong way. Weren't happy about his tenure at Nebraska. Now, Coach Collier loves Lincoln, loves Nebraska. His kids graduated from Nebraska. I mean, he still holds his time in Lincoln in high regard. And as you can see, when he's come back to Omaha, when he's been with his Butler basketball program, and sometimes when he's come back to town and he has snuck down to Lincoln to go to a game. What was it? Was it 2 years ago? I think it was 2 years ago. Nebraska and Indiana are playing, and Coach Collier is sitting across from the Indiana bench. He's sitting courtside. But he's one of those guys that when he left, people weren't happy about, and they weren't wishing him luck at Butler. Hey, as the athletic director in your new role, I hope you do well. Hasn't fazed him. Again, his kids graduated from Nebraska, loves the state of Nebraska. Didn't work out. You look at a guy that followed him that is loved to this day. Again, these are coaches that have been fired or have left and our relationship with them post them leaving. Doc Sadler, maybe you might think, man, that was a disaster with Doc Sadler as the head coach. Not enough good moments. Some good moments, but way too many bad moments. He had his press conference, which is still one of the most awkward things in the history of Nebraska athletics, and there's a long list of them, is the departure press conference of Doc Sadler with T.O., and then they let Doc talk, and how uncomfortable we were. But he may have changed some opinions on, man, I hope he does well. So he goes to Southern Miss, and there's a lot of people that follow him. And he comes back to Nebraska, and look at how we've embraced Coach Sadler. Love you, coming back. And think about it for a moment. A guy that got fired at a school came back to be an assistant at that school after his last stop. How rare is that? So Doc Sadler, we like. Now I'm adding to Adam's point about it might be a Nebraska basketball thing. And then you get Tim Miles, who people are like, man, Coach, I know it didn't work out here, and boy, I'm glad that we made a change. Some might say that. But I hope you do well at San Jose. Even to this point, Danny Nee. People were rooting for Danny Nee to have success when he went to the city of Pittsburgh and started coaching at different schools in Pittsburgh. Now, let's look at football, for example, in how the reaction is for somebody that is fired and gets their next gig. Frank Solich, probably mixed. When he got the Ohio gig, I saw Ohio flags start to fly in the city of Omaha. People still follow Frank. Frank was, you know, a couple years ago when he came back for the Outland Trophy banquet and he got the award from TL. He was nervous to come back because he has come back to the state, but it's been very quiet, and, you know, he's come back to recruit. But now, many years later, whether you were for the firing or not, people root for Frank. And heck, he's the oldest coach in Division I football, and he's still going, and he's turned around Ohio. I even think that you stop somebody on the street and say, Frank Solich, not here in Nebraska, but somewhere else, say Frank Solich, they're going to say, oh, the Ohio coach. Forget about his short 10 years the head coach in Nebraska. Now, after that, it's been completely different. And, you know, our relationship with Frank had gone for a long time. Bill Callahan is one of the best offensive, if not the best offensive line coach in the NFL. People aren't rooting for him to have success unless he's the offensive line coach on your team. And then you completely forget about how much you hated him as the head coach. Well, that was a terrible fit. Didn't work out. Bo Pelini. People wishing him well when he went to Youngstown State. Some made the trip to Vermilion, to Brookings, to Fargo to watch Youngstown State play. What about the coach before the current coach, Mike Riley? Were you rooting for that team in San Antonio in the AF to do well? No. And then you have the current head coach, which that's a, because Scott is an alum, think for a moment, if his tenure at Nebraska doesn't meet the expectations that fans have or he has, what that relationship is like if this is not his last job, if he goes somewhere else and it didn't, and he wasn't the guy to get things turned around here. I think about Omaha Hockey, Dean Blaze. Dean Blaze rode off into retirement. You know, at the end of his tenure, and I guess I can say this, and it's not a secret. I mean, the guy was a neighbor of mine. I know he liked to spend time with the grandkids. He liked to go up to the lake house in Minnesota, and recruiting probably slipped a little bit. Damn good hockey coach. He got Omaha to their only Frozen Four in 2015. But there isn't a lot of love for Dean. I mean, I wonder, you know, how long it took people to wish Dana Altman well when he left to go to Oregon. It's just the relationship. And again, Adam's making a great point about it might be just a Nebraska basketball thing. But there was an outpouring of, man, coach, I'm glad you got a new gig. I'm glad you are back coaching. You're going to be on the sidelines. Can't wait to watch San Jose State. Hey, are you going to come into the state and recruit? Are you gonna call up a Cola Rope? You know, he's in the portal. That's rare to see kind of that outpouring of support. It may also be the current guy you hired, you believe or is better than the guy that was fired or departed. So you don't look as badly on them. And you say, hey, coach, man, I love the guy we got. Good luck to you. Man, thanks for the memes. I'll never forget No Sit Sunday. I'll never forget that trip to the NCAA tournament. I'll never forget you wanting to beat up Tom Crean during a game and tweeting at halftime and all of that kind of stuff and hanging out in the rail yard after a game and having a Coors Light with me. Good luck, coach. Man, I love Hoiberg. That's kind of what it can be. But it's different. It's the outpouring of support for him you don't normally get after a coach has been fired from the program that you follow. And there will be probably multiple San Jose State updates. He's done one thing. I give him credit because I've wanted to have him on the show and talk, and especially after he was let go. You know, we had Michael Lewis on, and you know, Coach Lewis has gone on to, you know, good things. He's got to the Final Four on Mick Cronin's staff. But Tim has locally stayed out of the spotlight. I don't know any radio shows that he's appeared on or any really newspaper interviews or TV interviews. You know, he was great with the media, but I don't know locally that he's done any of that in 2 years. And that could be calculated. Hey, I don't want to, I'm not here to critique what the current staff is doing. I'm going to let them do their own thing. I still live in Lincoln. You see him around Lincoln. You see him at his favorite spot, his favorite Culver's. But the people that are excited for him to get a new job, that's rare. That's very, very rare. All right, 10:56. Coming up in the next hour, Scott Shanley will join us. We'll talk about the current basketball staff in Lincoln and the newest addition. Plus, Barry Alvarez. Yesterday was the day that he announced what it's going to be when he retires. And the power shift in the Big Ten now that a guy that for 3+ decades has completely changed Wisconsin athletics as a football coach and as athletic director. What does it do to the Big Ten in the power structure? And I got to look at all the accolades that Alvarez has achieved, first as a football coach, and then what that athletic department has done under his watch. Interesting how we judge athletic directors on their success. How do we judge athletic directors on their success? The amount of money they raise, the facilities they build, the hires they make, or when they make firings? Barry Alvarez, pretty good for 3 decades. 10:57, it's the Gary Sharp Show with George on 1620 The Zone.